Well, good morning. Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. I was very blessed being here ready this morning. With what Andy shared there, it really spoke to me. And the thought that came to my mind is, you know, is my life that living sacrifice in reality, or is it just in word? And as I thought of that, I was thinking, you know, my life will show that. If it is, over time, it will show if it is that living sacrifice in reality or just in word. But yeah, thank you for that. I know we just prayed, but I do feel my need of prayer here, so let's just bow for a word of prayer. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Fathers, we come before you here again this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence here amongst us. Father, we thank you for your promise that you promised to be there where two or three are gathered in your name. And Lord, we do ask that you would just be with my thoughts here, Father. Would you help me to bring them forth in a way that is pleasing to you, and that is that they could be able to be understood. Lord, we do pray that you would just be with me at this time and calm my trembling heart, Lord. And Father, I do just pray for the others, the brothers that aren't here this morning, Lord, as they're elsewhere. Father, would you bless them also? Be with Brother Allen as he's bringing your word. Lord, we do think of the ones in Bolivia also. We lift them up before you. Pray that you would meet with them, Father. And Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I guess The thought that kept coming to me as I was thinking of an opening comes out of Luke 8, verse 15. And this phrase came to me one day when I was thinking about what I should share. Is an honest and good heart. So we could maybe turn to Luke 8, verse 15. The setting here is where Jesus was giving the parable of the sower, of the seed. And maybe we'll just start in verse 11 and read down through these verses. Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So yeah, that was the phrase that I was wanting to focus on, is an honest and good heart. And we'll maybe reach into a little more of the rest of the parable later on. But what does this look like if it is lived out in my life? An honest and good heart. I looked up the word honest, and most of us are probably thinking, well, we should know what that means. But I was interested in the definition that it came up with, or some of the definitions that it gave here. Honest. That will not lie, cheat, or steal, truthful, trustworthy, showing fairness and sincerity, straightforward, free from deceit. And that was sort of what I was wanting to focus on there, is straightforward and free from deceit. Am I living my life this way? As I go through life, do I do more than just say that I am open and honest? Do I live life that way? Is this a way of life for me? Or am I going through life holding others at a distance, hoping I am not asked too many questions? Everything I say or do is justifiable to myself. But what does it look like when others see it? Do I feel threatened when questioned by others? That is normally a very good check. If I feel threatened or if I feel like maybe they're being too nosy. If I feel that way, I think that is a very good indication that I'm not willing to be open and honest. If I am not willing to be open and honest with where I'm at, with my walk with the Lord, or even just with my Christian life in general, I believe this will be very harmful to myself and my walk with the Lord, and also to the brotherhood. It leads to mistrust and doubt about my brothers. Am I willing to be open and honest? Do I have that honest and good heart? Maybe changing subject just a little, but I think it'll maybe make sense as we go on here. There's a phrase that kept coming back to me as I looked at this. And that was in James 1, 21 through 25. I'd like to read that. We could turn there. James 1, verses 21. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the phrase that stuck out to me is there in verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that was where I was wanting to link this together, is many times we struggle to be honest with ourselves. And here's one way that we can deceive ourselves. Normally when we think of dishonesty or being deceived, cheating, especially in a physical sense, we're always... We have to be on guard that others do not do this to us. You know, nowadays there's scammers, and every corner you turn, people are trying to take advantage of you. But in this case, James points out that it's possible to deceive ourselves. The word underneath that verse in my Bible is cheating. Is it possible that I trust myself too much? I found it interesting here that both in Luke 8:15 and also in James, here he is speaking of hearing the word and keeping it, bearing fruit, is what he speaks of in Luke there. And in James here he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. In both verses, we hear the word of God is asking us to be hearers and doers of the word. I'd like to turn back here to Luke 18. I'm sorry, Luke 8. So here in verse 15, we see where the good ground is the one that has an honest and good heart. He hears the word, keeps it, and brings forth fruit with patience. And in James, we see where he speaks of being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if we be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and then he likens it to a man who beholding his natural face in a glass, and we see it, we see ourselves, and then we go away without doing anything. And as I thought of this, I had to think, if that is how... See, I'm getting ahead of myself in my notes. Let's look briefly here, James, at how I can be deceived. It says we are deceived by being hearers only and not doers of the word. The question is asked is, how do I know if I'm... The question could be asked, how do I know if I am deceived? Or do I know if I am deceived? Could it be that many times I am content with having the knowledge and not willing to live it out? Many times we hear, or maybe we read, we learn things, but that is as far as it goes. And the effects of that is that when we hear and we learn, we gain knowledge. Many times, we think we got it. And I believe that's how we can be deceived. When in reality, we've only gained knowledge. We think it's foolish at what James points out here about a man looking at himself in the mirror and seeing his need and then doing nothing about it. How many times do we do that? Am I willing to be honest with where I'm at and make changes? I believe my response to hearing the Word of God is directly affected by the condition of my heart. Is the word falling on a good and honest heart that it speaks of in Luke here? Is this the condition of my heart, or is my heart more like the previous verses in Luke there, where it speaks of the wayside, the rocks, and the thorns? Is my life consumed with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life? As it speaks of in verse 14 there in Luke. If this is the case, I believe we'll have a very hard time hearing the Word of God with an open and honest heart. And we'll struggle to make application in my life. An honest and good heart will be a doer of the things that I hear, of the words that I hear. I had to think there's many practical things that we hear in a year's time, but how many things actually change in my life? an honest and good heart will be a doer of the things that I hear. We hear sermons every Sunday. What do I do with them? Many times I am challenged, but does it go further than that? An honest and good heart. An honest and good heart will respond differently than others when confronted about things in my life. And I had to think of Saul. I had to think of a couple examples. And one was Saul when he came back from battle and he met Samuel there. And he would have said that, you know, I've done what the Lord asked of me. And Samuel asked him, he said, what is the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? And so he wasn't willing to be honest and confess, but he made excuses. And is this what I do in my life? Do I make excuses? Very opposite of that was I had to think of David. And I turned there. 2 Samuel. Looking at these examples, just thinking of the condition of my heart. Am I open and honest with others, with God, and with myself? 2 Samuel 12, verse 1-7. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him. And with his children, it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man hath done this thing. The man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. And he goes on there. Samuel goes on speaking there. But the verse I wanted to focus on was verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And just thinking of we all know the setting here and what David is, the sin he had committed. But just thinking of the two different responses as we think of David and Saul. The one is an honest and open heart, and the other one is not willing to hear. Both had sinned, but had two totally different responses. May each of us ask the Lord for that honest and good heart. I believe it will take us a long way in our Christian life. With my relationship with the Lord, and also my relationship with my brothers. We looked at the passage of Scripture there in Luke and also in James, and both of these have a promise to those that have that honest and good heart. It brings forth fruit with patience, is what Luke says. And then James, verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So we have a promise there if we're willing to meet the conditions. May each of us be willing to do that.